When Pastor and I sat down, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and my assignment was to deal with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be honest with you, when I started getting into it and digging, I thought, goodness gracious, how in the world can I take all of this information and put it into this 20, 30-minute message? So I hope you brought a lunch, because I wasn't able to do that. Anyway. But, you know, and Pastor knows this, that when God directs you to begin to go a particular direction, as was God directed him to do a six-week series on the Holy Spirit, when you start digging into it, there's so much that's there, but you got to hear and listen to the Holy Spirit, because number one, he knows what all of us need. All right, and so we need to hear from him to give us not only the message but also when we get up here. Pastor, are there times when you come up here when you're kind of nervous? See, it doesn't get any better. I just want you to know that. I've been doing this since 65 or so, 1965. That's a lot of years. And there are times when I come to the pulpit to preach, and I have confidence and everything else, but I always have this anticipation of, am I going to get it right, and am I going to, you know, because what I want to be this morning is simply his mouthpiece to us, and so I really this is a powerful. It's a powerful. I'm dealing with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a message that I hope you want to hear. It's going to be a little bit different than what I thought it should be, but that's all right. I've learned that God does that, and he wants it his way. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. And so when we fit into his ways, sometimes it's a lot different than what our thinking is. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I want to thank you. You know, I was thinking this morning, we're talking about saying hallelujah. Thank you, Papa. You know, as some people, you know, you are our daddy. You are our Papa. And we thank you and praise you. And so, our Lord, I just pray that you give us ears to hear, a heart to understand, a mind to receive, Lord Jesus, these things that you have for us this morning. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, and we've got a number of scriptures that we're going to deal with. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So what was the first thing that God created? Light. Keep that in mind, light. All right? And then John chapter 1, verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish the light. Just real quickly, I remember one night we were, years ago when I was playing football, and we came down, and some of us were you went downstairs into the hallway, and then off the hallway was the place, the shower rooms and all that kind of stuff. And I remember that when I came down the steps, I heard voices, but it was just pitch black. One person had a cigarette lighter, and they lit that lighter. And all of a sudden, you could see one little bitty candle-like flame cut through the darkness. Light or darkness cannot shove out light. Light shoves out darkness. Okay, do you have that? Did you get that triangle? Put that triangle up. And this, I'm building. I'm going to have about a 35-minute message, and 30 minutes is going to be preparation for the last five. Is that all right? So just bear with me, because there's some wisdom in God doing it this way. We have light, and this was when I wrote my book on living letters. One of the things that and I've got this picture in there. There are three rays of light that have to be involved and have to work together in order for there to be light. Like, for instance, a fire. There are three things that you need for a fire. You need heat, you need energy or a source of fuel, and what else? Oxygen, right? Three things. And if you have those three things, you'll get fire. But if you don't have one of them, you're not going to get fire. So you need these three different rays of light: the originates, the formulates, and the consummates. Well, when I looked at that and began to define and look up those words, all of a sudden I began to see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All right, and let me just share with you about the definitions. The word originates means to begin, to bring into being, to invent, to design. All right? God is the designer. The Bible tells us that, and when he's talking about Jesus, that he created all things were created by him and for him. So Jesus was the formulates. He's the contractor. He comes in and he works out and he develops and he makes an idea work. All right? He builds the building. Now, how many have ever built a new home? You know, it's interesting. The contractor comes in, he's got these blueprints, and he knows what, and so he puts together these blueprints. And so when you get your home all done and you walk in the door, you've got what? You've got rooms, you've got walls, you've got structures and so forth, but that's all you've got. And so now the consummator, the Holy Spirit, he sums it all up. He brings it to a finish. He completes it. He makes it perfect in every way he fulfills it. You know what he does? He adds furniture. He adds color. He adds decorations. And when I started seeing that whole process, I began to go, wow. And we'll get into that, okay? So you got the Father, who is the architect or the designer, the Son, who is the contractor, the builder. You got the Holy Spirit, who is the decorator, the one that finishes it all off, adds something to make it live and more attractive, colors, shapes, and you know, I watch these programs on TV where this person comes in and redoes a house. And I remember this one we were watching not too long ago, and they've got this contractor, and he's the guy that comes in, tears out the walls, rebuilds, and so forth. And then they've got this lady that comes in, she's a designer, and you got to understand, he's got it built, and it's also, and she comes in and she said, well, I'm going to do this here and this here and this here. And he rolls his eyes back. Like, everything should be white. And just you know, make it neutral and all these other, and she wants to put on the ceiling flowers over in this bathroom and big whatever, and he's just shaking his head. But the thing is, he knows that what she does works. Men, you got to let your wives do the decorating. Even though you, and when you hear it, you're going, when you're all done, I mean, and you walk in and go, wow, man, that's pretty cool. That's nice. My wife is the decorator. The problem is that I come home and she doesn't say anything. And after about an hour, she says, well, did you notice? And I'm going, You know, I'm looking all over, what? I don't remember what it was before. Come on. And she's moved something and done something. And I go, oh, that looks nice. What did it look like before, you know? Anyway, but be happy and let your wife do the decorating. Okay. Now, there are some men that are good at it, okay. Most of us are not. All right, so when I saw that the first thing that God created was light, he was simply showing the Godhead. He was showing mankind the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and it's the God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit working together that creates the Godhead. I think there's only five or six times in the Old Testament where the word one is meaning uno one, just one person or one thing. Most of the time, 98% of the time, the word one in the Old Testament is unity. God said, let us make man. Let us do the, well, who's the us? It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? So let us make light. And he made light. All right. Everybody got that? So I go on from there. And the word power. Now the word power in the Greek is dynamite. Dynamite. What word do you get from dynamite? Dynamite. All right? So the word dynamite is a transliteration of the Greek word dynamite. In other words, it's sounding it all out and putting it into our English letters. Sometimes the words are not definitions. The word baptize comes from the Greek word baptizo. Okay, and so we've got baptized. So that's how you get that. But the word power, and listen to this. The word power means to be able. I'm learning something in this older age. My able is getting less. We just went through the deer hunting week, and I used to be, when I shot my deer, I could, take care of it, clean it out, drag it. I've driven, dragged deer up to a mile. You know, you're kind of winded and so forth, but you do it. And now, this last week, I shot a deer. And it ran about 30 feet off the trail. I pulled it out to 30 feet, hooked it up to my machine, drug it back to the cabin. My son hoisted it up, gutted it, skinned it, quartered it, put it in a tote in the back of my pickup. Way to go, Arv. So I'm realizing that this to be able is becoming to not be able. But word, and listen, to be able, it means capability. It means to ability, the power, the possibility, to give power, to will, powerful, all powerful. All right? So the Holy Spirit is one who has the ability to, or the power to. He has the ability to do whatever God wants him to do. The power source, the decorator of all things, is the Holy Spirit. So keep that in mind. All right? And I'm going to just mention these verses, not going to go through them, so I'm messing these guys up back here. In Genesis 17:1, Revelation 4:8, in Ephesians 1:19, it says that God is all-powerful, he's God Almighty. Grab a hold of this. If you have any power in your life today, it comes from God. He is all power. Okay? Hear me. The enemy only has the power that God lets him have. The Bible says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have the one that is able. Get that into your minds. God gives Satan so much power. We give him a whole lot more. See, we think that he is this being that can do whatever he wants to do. No, he can't. He's under the direction and guidance of God Almighty. And we have God where? Where is God? Where is God this morning, right now, in this room? Where is he? In us. The Almighty God, the all-powerful, the one who is able, is within us. And yet we surrender and we submit to all these things that go on around us. All right? And we give the power so much enemy, or the enemy so much power in our lives. When all of the power is in the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And they work together to express that whole process. The Holy Spirit is the decorator. He's the one that brings things to life. And so I got looking around. There are, one of the things that God said is, let there be birds of the air. All right? And there are birds of the air. Well, they're there, but do you realize that there are over 9,000 species of birds? And some of them are the goofiest things? Do you realize a pelican is a bird? And all it can do is walk? Can't fly? And it waddles? I mean, it's strange. How about the cockapoo? It's got a beak that's 10, 12 times bigger than its head. And it's goofy looking. And there are over 250 species of cows. There are long-haired cows. There are longhorn. Do you realize, you ever seen the pictures or been around longhorns? I don't know how long their horns are, 4 or 5 feet long or more. I mean, what a thing to have to carry around. How do they get through the brush? What about a moose? Joey, how do they go through the brush? You know, do you realize there are Oreo cows? Have you ever seen them? We got them in Wisconsin. Have you seen Oreo cows? Black on one on the tail end, white in the middle, and black on the head end. They look like an Oreo cookie. And when I go through this in my mind, I see the Holy Spirit, because he's a designer, and God says, you know what? I want to have some cattle. Oh boy. And I can, I visualize this in my mind, God saying to Jesus, I'd like to have some cattle. and here's what I'd like them, you know, how they're to work and so forth. And this cow is going to have three stomachs. Why three stomachs? You know, and yet that's and or maybe it was the Holy Spirit that said, oh, okay, but I'm going to have three stomachs. And I'm going to have some with long horns, some with short horns, some short, some fat, black and white, brown. And he's got all these different. How about horses? I can see the Holy Spirit saying, oh, horses, horses. I'm going to have some little bitty ones. I'm going to have some real big ones. I'm going to have some that got black and white stripes. I'm going to have some that are going to have white stripes and black bodies. And then there's going to be one like the Appaloosa that's got dots all over it. I mean, all I can see in my mind is this. Remember I talked to you the other week? All I can see is the Holy Spirit just kind of this giggling spirit like, ooh, this is going to be fun. How many thousands of flying insects? Too many. I tell you what, do it when you get home. Don't do it now. Do it when you get home. Look up spider webs. And look, I mean, they are phenomenal. Do you know that in a spider web, that when the little squares are made by the webbing, do you know that every one of them are exactly measured perfectly? And there they go. It's phenomenal. And that little bug is just burping or whatever it's doing out this web, and he's creating, and sometimes he'll do a web, you know, and it's not to, so he does a little triangle web and strengthen it up, and sometimes it's sticky to catch things, and sometimes it's reflective to draw bugs. I mean, phenomenal. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, people. Get that in your minds. He's a designer. That's why it's hard. He's like the wind that blows. You feel it, you sense it, and you hear what it does, but you can't see it. And he's moving all the time. And he comes and he touches our lives. If you'll sit back and watch instead of being so wrapped up in yourselves and watch what the Holy Spirit does in your lives, it's phenomenal. Pastor's got three children. Right? See what this is? This is my box. He's got a box over here. Mine's already. So if I touch this here. Okay. Anyway, are they? They're from you and your wife, but are they different?
Yeah.
How does that happen? I mean, you could have. I've been around families with 10 or 11 kids, and it's like, where do they come from? They don't represent any. I mean, they're just totally different. Holy Spirit. Snowflakes. I'm sitting in my blind hunting deer, and it's snowing. And I sat there, and I started laughing because every single snowflake that was coming down was different from the one that was coming down over here. Who does that? Holy Spirit. You drive out here and you see all these pretty leaves on these trees. Every leaf is different. And you can't find two of them that are exactly the same when they turn colors. It's phenomenal. Holy Spirit. Are you getting a picture now of who the Holy Spirit is? In Acts 1:8, it says this. And you, well, let's say it. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But it's you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, you don't have any power until he comes upon you. Get that in your minds. If you think you have power to do this, and you think you're smart enough to do this here and that there, excuse me, all that is egotistical thinking. We are absolutely nothing. We can't breathe without the power of God causing us to breathe and giving us the air to breathe. See, when you begin to look, people, at who the Trinity is, and you look at the Holy Spirit and you begin to realize, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5. I just want you to, we're going to bring it up, but I want you to see this. John chapter 5, verse 19. If you don't have a Bible, look at up here. What does it say? So Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who? Son of God. If you go back and read Philippians 2, you'll find out what he's talking about. In Philippians 2, it says he gave up his divine rights to become a man in order to be like you and I. He gave up his divine rights. Jesus explained, he's talking here, he says, I tell you the truth, the Son, me Jesus, can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees his Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now go to verse 30 of chapter 5. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. I can't even judge without God telling me how to. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. See, right there, he's giving us an answer. If you're going to follow God, you've got to follow his will, not yours. Jesus, the Son of God, hear me, could do nothing. It was the Holy Spirit working through him, accomplishing God's will. If Jesus did things because he was the Son of God and had that capability, how can we do what he tells us in John 14? He says, the very things I've done, you will do also, and even greater things. And I say to myself, when I was first trying to understand all this, that's a bunch of hogwash. Because I'm not God. If Jesus was doing these things because he was God and had the capability to do these things because he was God, there's no way that we can follow him. But when we realize that Jesus put down all his divine rights, became man like you and I, depended on the Holy Spirit to lead and direct and guide him and give him the power to do things, I can follow that person because he's just like me. Everybody got a hold of that this morning? Please grab that. Now let's just take a look at it. In Luke chapter, or go to Luke chapter 3, verse 23. And the Holy Spirit in bodily form, this is Jesus now in his baptism scene. And the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and the voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. At that point, you see, Jesus was born of the Spirit when he was born as a human. All right? And now, 30 years later, he goes and he's being baptized. And not only is he being baptized as a sign to you and I that we need to be baptized, but now he's being also baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came down upon him and remained. And John knew that this was the Son of God because God told John the Baptist that the one that you see the Spirit of God come down on and remain is the Messiah. And that's what happened. Now, go to chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, he had just been baptized in the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River where he had just been baptized. He was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. So get in your mind the picture. He's been baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, And he comes out and he's full of the Holy Spirit. He goes, and now the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. Now go to verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's what?
Power.
And you have to understand that before this thing happened in his life, he didn't do any miracles whatsoever. But after he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, reports began about him began to spread quickly through the whole. What kind of reports? Miraculous things were beginning to take place. And Jesus said this, I came to do my Father's will. You're getting a picture? Because what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is this, that our example is Jesus Christ. Our example is the New Testament church. We need to be born of the Spirit, which means new birth. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of those two things, then we do God's will as best we know it. The Holy Spirit begins to work in us and through us. That's how it works. It's very simple. I can't do anything by myself. I can't save myself. I need God to save me, to change my heart, change my life. Then I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit even to walk out a Christ-like life. See, if we think we can do it on our own, it's not going to work. And too many Christians are trying to just do things by themselves. And you end up not doing his way, his will, because his ways are different from ours. You end up not saying what he wants you to say. You end up messing it up. How do I know that? I've walked the road, you know. I've been there, done that. We need people. We need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need it. Just to be a Christian. Lois, help me remember, what was the bumper sticker? Hatred. There's no greater hate than Christian love. There's no greater hate than Christian love. That should infuriate you, but the saddest part about that is that there's truth in it. The world doesn't need to see. The world doesn't need to see Christians doing it on their own. Because when we do it on our own, we mess up. It needs to see Christians who are desiring to fulfill and do the will of God, depending upon the Holy Spirit in their lives and walking and living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then they see love that they can't comprehend. Getting quiet in here. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come down, and he was, as Pastor shared last Sunday, he would come down and light on somebody. They would do this miraculous thing that they couldn't do otherwise, and then the Holy Spirit would depart, and it was like a visitation culture, all right? In the New Testament, through what Jesus did, and by his example, the Holy Spirit came down and remained. And when Jesus left, he promised that that's what was going to happen, that he would send the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit then would come down on all believers in that process. Okay? He worked all kinds of miracles in the Old Testament. All right? He created things. He brought understanding and works of art, all kinds of different things. Samson gave him this supernatural strength. He turned water into blood. And by the way, the next time that miracle took place was water into wine, which is a symbol of the blood of Christ. I thought that was interesting as I was going through it. He brought fire from heaven. He caused armies to fight each other and destroy each other. He spoke through a donkey. And so there's all kinds of things. And then what had happened in the Gospels, we saw this happen in Jesus' life. Through the Holy Spirit, the dead was raised. Multiple multiplied food. He stopped a storm. He walked on water. He cast out demons. He was he went from place to place without going from place to place. I mean, he was here and then he was here in a matter of a second. And all kinds of things. Healed all kinds of sicknesses. And in John 14:12, bring that up. John 14:12, it says that we are to, I tell you the truth, listen, if anyone who believes, Pastor, do you believe? Jamie, do you believe? Billy, do you believe? How about the rest of you? How many of you in here believe? Some are going, you believe. I'm here. If, I tell you the truth, Jesus is talking, it's a truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. How many of you believers have done the same works that Jesus has done? 1, 2, 3, 4. What happened to the rest of you? A few more are going up, you know, like, well, maybe. I love it. And even greater works, because I'm going to go to be with the Father, and I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes and you guys really get a hold of him and he gets a hold of you, all of a sudden, the things I did, you're going to do in even greater things. What would happen? What would happen if all, hear me now, what would happen if all of us believers who raised our hands sitting here this morning were doing the things that Jesus did and greater things? What do you think would happen? There wouldn't be enough room in this standing room in the church because people will knock the doors down to get in. Where the power of God is alive. If we believe. All right. Now I'm getting to the message. I love it. I sat down and I said, Lord, power of the Holy Spirit. Typical message in the charismatic world on the power of the Holy Spirit deals with the miraculous things that go on. And what God did, and this was, Pastor, was the fun part of this whole thing. I wrote down power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the powers of the Holy Spirit that affects all of us. The first one I wrote down is giver of life. And I wrote down the whole thing of life in abundance. God desires people to give us life in abundance. Do you have life in abundance today? See, that's a whole, but it's there for us. Abundance. I have a picture of myself standing on top of a mountain in Colorado, and there's all these snow-capped mountains around me, and a song comes to my mind that says he raised me up to stand on mountains. He did. Now I trip over twigs. It's not funny. Now my mountain can be just something laying on the floor. Things change. But he gives us life. In the midst of all of that, I can say, praise the Lord. You know what? I have this back problem, as you well know. I have a balance problem. All right? I've got some other problems. And this week I've got a procedure I'm not looking forward for, but I've got tinnitus where there's a wind blowing in my head. And of course the reason is because the doctor told me I had a small brain. And that wind goes back and through like it's here. Okay? But you know what? And you know that five people that have tinnitus commit suicide because of that. It's a 24/7. It's a constant wind, high-pitched wind that I hear all the time. All right, and it drives you bonkers. You know, it's so. But in the midst of all of it, do you know that I get up in the morning and I thank God for the day? Do you know that I praise him for my tinnitus? Do you know that I give him thanks for the inability to walk like I used to walk? I mean, you know what? Why? Because he's worthy of my praise, people. And I'm not going to let this stuff be the controlling factors. And as far as my attitude is concerned, yes, and Lois will tell you there are times that I go, I don't like this. This getting old is fun, but it's not fun. But yet, so what? Do you realize that every day I get closer to a new body? Yeah, ta-da. Mary knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, okay. All right, so he's a giver. Born again. Do you realize what it takes to be born again? Think about it. How do you take a person who is wrapped up and filled with sin, and in a matter of a second, they are washed clean and they're a brand new creation in Christ? All things, old things have passed away, and all things have been. How does that work? The Holy Spirit. You see, he comes down and he takes this wretched people that we are. In Romans 7, it says, things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's the things to do. Oh, wretched man am I. And then the next verse, it says, but Jesus Christ. 1963, 10 o'clock at night, Asbury College, Wilmore, Kentucky, fourth floor of the East Wing Johnson Main Hall, room 402. Next to an old army bed, because that's all they had. I knelt down, and within just a few seconds, I stood up a brand new creation. Listen to me. That takes a power that goes way, way beyond my comprehension. What about this word we call regeneration? Or the word we call sanctification. The word sanctification is being cleansed and set apart. And that's a process. Do you realize that you people that have given your lives to Christ have been in this process of the Holy Spirit working in you? You might not see it. You might not, because it happens over a process of time. But if you look back, you begin to realize that you're not the same today as you were yesterday. Why? Because of the power. Power of the Holy Spirit working in us. We want it to all happen right now, but Christianity is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's running and running day after day after day after day. A renewed mind. How do you take these old, decrepit, sinful minds that we all have had and make them into a mind that begins to think like God? How is that possible? We can't do it. You can read all you want to read. You know, the Bible says that it's renewed by the reading of the Word, but it's renewed by the reading of the Word, the Bible, and that's another, that I'll stop right there. Do you realize that if I would ask the question, how many of you read the Bible every day, I'm sure there will be some in here that don't do that. Hopefully not, but how much? You see, if the renewing of the mind is done by the Holy Spirit through the reading of the Word, and we're not reading the Word, is it going to happen? See? So reading the Word is important to us as Christians. So you read the Word, and as you read the Word, the Holy Spirit in His power comes, and He begins to enlighten that Word. He begins to bring that Word alive, and our mind is changed. I don't think like I used to think. I invented some four-letter words. But God washed them out of my mind when I gave my life to Jesus. I don't know how he did it, but he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Unity and peace. You see, I go around telling everybody that I have the chance to tell that this is one of the greatest churches. This is the greatest church that I have ever been a part of in my life. And there's a key factor that is. It is becoming, and has become in many ways, a family. There is more unity in this church than I've ever seen in a church. There's more love, there's more. These older people that we have here in the church, these young whippersnappers, rusty rugrats, you and the soul go raise your hand, will you? I want you to look and understand, these are more than my family. These are my brothers and sisters. Amen. And we kind of like each other, don't we? Yeah, you think so. Yeah, I know. I tell you what, if you all could come, now the only way you can come to the Tuesday night meeting is, what do you have to get, Pastor? A certificate. It's a one-day pass, right? That's right, that's all. See, we invited a pastor, but before he'd come, he had to get a one-day certificate, a one-day pass. And he doesn't have that anymore, do you? See, so he can't come. Sorry. You know. But anyway, these are my brothers and sisters. These guys are more important to me than members of my family. Why? The Holy Spirit. Unity. Becoming one. Harmony. What about two more? You started this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall receive power to be my witness. You see, the more the Holy Spirit has affected our lives, the more we have become the witness. The more people around us, and we don't have to say anything or do anything, they're going to know it when they walk by us. See? And if you read the Old New Testament, you'll see that that's what was happening in the believers' lives. They were affecting a world simply by being there. Why? The power of the Holy Spirit would come through and they would become His witness. And then eternal life. Eternal life. Now, I don't know how that all works, people. I'm just lost. But it takes a power that goes so far beyond you and I. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this.
And I'm closing. We need. Everybody say, we need. The power of the Holy Spirit in us. And it takes this. It takes believing. It takes asking. And it takes receiving. This whole series of messages is coming up to the last one, which is the message on how to receive and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. At least that's what the goal is. If you have not been baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to be. It's life-changing. It's life-altering. It's just absolutely, totally unbelievable. And we need it. I need it. I can't do the things, even as a man, as a person, as an individual. Living the life that God wants me to live is only done through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the proof that I have about that is Jesus Christ was the same as I'm going through. The disciples were the same. They were hiding in an upper room until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they became the witnesses that touched the world, that touched the world and are still touching the world. We need, hear me, hear me, hear me. As a person that has walked some roads, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.